Following are comments on William Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream, Act 4. I will undo this hateful imperfection of her eyes. Titania and her assistant fairies treat Bottom royally, and he falls asleep next to her. Titania has relented about the Indian boy, so now Oberon returns her to her proper self, just as Robin translates Bottom back to himself. In Act 4, Scene 1, Bottom satisfies his non-human desires with some delicious hay, and then gives in to sleep while Titania lies next to him. Act 4, Scene 1, lines 30 through 43 inclusive. Meanwhile, Oberon has at last succeeded in his plan to extort the Indian boy from Titania, whom he now pities, conceding, quote-unquote, I will undo this hateful imperfection of her eyes. Act 4, Scene 1, lines 60 through 61. After Titania has been returned to normal, it will be Robin's task to turn Bottom back into a man. Oberon explains that Robin should remove the ass's head from Bottom, quote-unquote, that he, awaking when the other do, may all to Athens back again repair, and think no more of this night's accidents, but as the fierce vexation of a dream. Act 4, Scene 1, lines 64 through 67. The first folio's punctuation of the first two lines may help us understand Oberon's meaning. Quote unquote, that he awaking when the other do, may all to Athens back again repair. A modern English rendering of the entire four-line passage could run, quote unquote, so that when Bottom awakes at the same time the others do, they may all return to Athens and think that this night's events have been no more than the intense disturbance arising from a bad dream. More on this later when the lovers wake up and try to explain what has happened to them. Oberon now sprinkles a counter-herb or antidote, Dian's bud, in Titania's eyes and thereby undoes the spell he had earlier cast upon her with the pansy flower, or love in idleness. Titania awakes and says confusedly, quote-unquote, My Oberon, what visions have I seen? Methought I was enamored of an ass. Act 4, Scene 1, lines 74 through 75. At that point, Robin undoes Bottom's transformation, and then Titania and Oberon dance near the spot where the human lovers still sleep. Apparently, Oberon will tell Titania later how all these strange things have come to pass. Or at least that's what she asks him to do. What we have been witnessing is a species of vexation in which nothing holds true about even those things in which humans put the greatest stock. Everything is subject to whimsical magic and is beyond mortal control. Still, just as no lasting harm comes to Titania, none will come of this vexation, so-called, or fitful state of agitation that overtook Bottom through his translation, as well as Lysander and Demetrius through herbal enchantment, and even Hermia and Helena by their participation in the night's strange, confused happenings. I never heard so musical a discord. Outside the palace, Theseus and Hippolyta make conversation. Oberon and Titania have charmed Bottom, Hermia, Lysander, Demetrius, and Helena into a profound slumber, and the royal couple's party soon finds them. Aegeus' repeated demand that Hermia be subjected to the penalty of Athenian law is now dismissed. Still in Act 4, Scene 1, the hunt is getting started beyond the palace, and Hippolyta shows some of her old fighting spirit, reminding Theseus that she has kept better company than him. His hounds may be very fine, just as he boasts, but she has heard the dogs of Hercules and Cadmus and is dubious about Theseus's claims of supreme tunableness between the dogs and the horns. Act 4, Scene 1, lines 100 through 109 inclusive. Quote unquote, I never heard so musical a discord, such sweet thunder, She needles Theseus. Act 4, Scene 1, Lines 115 through 116. True to character, he is driven to brag still more about his hounds. The tenor of this conversation is civil, a far cry from the violence that forged the union of Theseus and Hippolyta. When the hunting party happens upon the sleeping lovers, Aegeus importunes Theseus to practice severity, shouting, quote unquote, "I beg the law upon his head," Act 4, Scene 1, Line 153. But Demetrius, Aegeus's favorite, robs him of the opportunity by declaring his renewed interest in Helena, which leaves Hermia free to marry Lysander. The Duke offers a triple wedding at the temple nearby, and the happy couples, still adjusting to the waking world, follow Theseus and recount what they can of their forest dreams. Act 4, Scene 1, Lines 196 through 197. Man is but an ass if he go about to expound this dream. Bottom wakes up and reflects upon his unique experience as an ass. To end Act 4, Scene 1, Bottom waxes philosophical about his strange vision, beginning with, quote unquote, "Man is but an ass if he go about to expound this dream." Act 4, Scene 1, Lines 203 through 204. As the Norton editor points out, Bottom proceeds to garble a passage from St. Paul's 1 Corinthians 2:9. Quote unquote, "The eye of man hath not heard, the ear of man hath not seen, man's hand is not able to taste, his tongue to conceive, nor his heart to report what my dream was." Act 4, Scene 1, Lines 207 through 210. St. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 2:15, quote unquote, "But he that is spiritual discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." That's from the Bishop's Bible, studylight.org. Perhaps then, Bottom is asserting that he has special insight into the nature of his vision, even if he can't fully expound that vision or its meaning. As many critics have noted, Bottom alone among the characters in A Midsummer Night's Dream is privileged to see and talk with the inhabitants of Oberon and Titania's fairy realm. Even when transformed into a demi-donkey, he doesn't change. Somehow, he is at home in this dream world, this place of strong desire. In any event, Bottom's hope seems to be that with Peter Quince's help, he can get this vision turned into a ballad and have it sung at the end of a play. Act 4, Scene 1, Lines 210 through 214. Like his fellow mechanicals, Bottom shows respect for his dramatic art. But like them as well, he shows a healthy regard for its practical material benefits. It's possible to print and peddle a dream that one can't fully understand or expound, and still turn a decent profit. Bottom's reaction to his experience differs from the romantic couple's response to theirs. They are just trying to reacclimate themselves to the everyday world and make sense of what happened. The Weaver, however, is not vexed in quite the same way that the other characters are. Most of us live fitfully trying to negotiate the gap between waking and sleep, reality and fantasy, what is and what might be, but not Bottom. Then too, Bottom, perhaps because his vision involves a transformation from human into animal, not merely a sorting out of love objects, seems to feel a strong sense of wonder in the aftermath of his vision, even as he quickly moves to consider practical ways of squeezing profit from it. Is Shakespeare, a working artist not infinitely removed from the status of the laborers he good-naturedly mocks in this play, hinting that his own response to his art is similarly twofold, a matter of both wonder and utility? For the short and the long is, our play is preferred. Bottom arrives back in Athens and tells the other actors that their play is at least in serious contention for performance before the Duke and Hippolyta at court. In Act 4, Scene 2, the other actors are waiting for Bottom to make his appearance, lest they lose their chance at courtly patronage suitable to their humble rank. It seems that the play's marriages have just taken place. As Snug tells the others, quote-unquote, "Masters, the Duke is coming from the temple, and there is two or three lords and ladies more married." Act 4, Scene 2, Lines 15 through 16. Although the workmen are worried that their moment of dramatic glory has passed, Bottom shows up and receives a hero's welcome. Still, he keeps largely mum about his great adventure with Titania and her attendants, preferring to relate something more comprehensible. Quote unquote, "The short and the long is, our play is preferred." Act 4, Scene 2, Line 34. "It has been recommended," which seems to mean not that it is certain to be performed, but that it will be one of the options set before Theseus for the evening's entertainment. The actors must all be ready to roll, should they be chosen. Thanks for listening. This audio lecture was recorded on Sunday, July 6th, 2025. The foregoing material is copyright 2025 by Alfred J. Drake. For quotations from A Midsummer Night's Dream, I have relied on the revised Norton Shakespeare 3rd edition, 4-volume genre-based format.